Okay. Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Ayin Ches in Avodah Zarah. We're going to start the Mishnah. Thanks, Stuart, who's not here right now, but he'll be here. Thank you, Stuart, for covering for me for the past couple of days. My trip down to the Southwest was excellent. Southwest of Florida. It was good. We start with the Mishnah. Dam Shenisar B'mayim. Okay, next two days of daf are fundamental in terms of Tarovis, in terms of the world of mixtures. We couldn't be any more fortunate for these next couple of days. We're going to touch on some of the most basic issues of mixtures. The Mishnah talks about the following scenario: Dam Shenisar B'mayim. So if you have blood get mixed up with water. The Mishnah over here wants to know whether or not you could do a simple zrika, whether or not you could sprinkle on the mizbech. So dam shenizar b'mayim im yesh b'mayir is dam kosher. So the Mishnah gives us the rule, and the rule is appearance. Right, chazusa, as we're going to learn later on. Tomorrow the Gemara is going to use such terminology. Right, the chazusa means appearance. So if it appears as if it's blood, so meaning it still has a red complexion to it, so then that's fine. So then you could do a zrika with it. But if it doesn't have, if it's so diluted that it's just water and it doesn't have any red appearance whatsoever, so then you can't do a zrika with it. So im yesh b'mayir dam kasher. It's arev b'yayin. Okay, that's case number one. Case number two. It gets mixed up with blood. So, sorry, with wine.
Wine.
Yeah, so
red
here...
Wine. Red wine?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Not wine.
The Gemara later on. We'll talk later on. Later on, we'll talk about white wine. So in the meantime, however, we get mixed up with wine, with red wine, rono sekilu humayim. So over here, appearance isn't going to help you because they're both reds.
Okay.
So red blood gets mixed up with red wine, and you don't know. Obviously, there's never going to be a change in appearance. So here, rowan oso ki'ilu humayim, we have another concept of rowan. Rowan means that we look at the potential. If we were to substitute the wine with water, and as long as you still have would have the appearance of blood, so then it's good. So in other words, you're gonna have to sit there with your chemistry. Remember titration back in the good old days? Okay, so basically you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to figure out if such a combination of what I have right now, which is blood and wine, and I were to take that wine and substitute it with water, as long as I would still have the appearance of blood, so then it would be okay. Then it would be acceptable. Let's say the blood gets mixed up with other bloods. Blood of an animal or blood of a non-domesticated animal. So once again, I use the concept of rowan. So obviously, I can't tell. Everything is blood. Right? Blood gets mixed up with blood. So according to the Tanakhama, so again, I take a look at the non-zrika blood, and I forecast. I figure out if this wasn't blood, and if it was water, and if I could still see the appearance of the original blood, so then it's fine. Then it's good. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, top of Ayin Chesam and Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Dam Mevatel Dam. Blood doesn't nullify blood. Okay, this is an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that we've seen so many times throughout Shas. This is the same as saying min bimino in a bato, right? That when you have like mixtures get together, there's never going to be bito. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, right? According to across the board throughout all of Shas, we see this opinion again and again. I mentioned a number of times. Rashi mentions a number of times. That's the halacha. The halacha falls like Rabbi Yehuda, that by min bimino is in a bato. We don't pass like Rashi, right? Tosos disagrees and the other Rishonim disagree, but fine. Okay, but right now in the Mishnah, this is it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Dam Mevatel Dam. Blood never nullifies. Blood is a consequence of that. Here, right, understand, it works in our favor. Because essentially what we're saying is that you could have one drop of Zrika blood get mixed up with gallons and gallons of non-Zrika blood, and you could still do the mitzvah of Zrika. Right? You could take from that mixture, which has now a fraction, an unbelievably small fraction of Zrika blood, and you can go ahead and you can sprinkle, and that would be fine. So here, Ein Dam Mevatel Dam, actually the concept of Min Bimino in a Batel really is to our advantage, it's to our favor. We could still do the mitzvah of Zrika, Afapi, even though that it's just it's negligible, but according to Rav Yehuda, in like mixtures, we never say that. We never use the word negligible. Nizar B'dam Psulam Yishafek La'ama. What if it gets mixed up with dam psulim, with blood that's pasul? So here you're going to have here it's tricky, because as opposed to the previous case of the Mishnah, what was the mixture? The mixture was dam together with water, with wine, with other bloods. So even though I have a mixture, I have a tarokus, and even though right, most of it is not the dam azrika, but still, what's the worst thing that you did? You sprinkled water onto the mizbech. Okay, It's not. In other words, that's not the end of the world here. It's in the Nisarv B'dam Psulim. You mix it up with Dam Psulim. Dam Psulim, right? Rashi says, Rova, Nirva, Nishcha, Chutz, Luzmano, Chutzim Komo. Right? The animal becomes disqualified through a number of different variations. It doesn't really matter. The point is, he's Shafech La'ama. There, you just got to pour down the canal. Right? Because there we're stuck. We can't just simply put it on the Mizbeach. Because although, right, even according to Rav Yehuda, even though in Dam Mevatel Dam, but still, in other words, part of this mixture is blood that should not be sprinkled onto the Mizbeach. So you can't say, well, I'm not really interested in sprinkling the pasul blood onto the Mizbeach. I'm only interested in sprinkling the Dam Zrika, the blood that I want. It can't do that. The Mishnah says it simply can't be done. And therefore, you shafech lama, you pour it down the canal. We described this a number of times. Canal runs somewhere down the middle of the Azara and let it go.
The Dam Chayit is not
my category. Yeah, right? Is that right? It's not pasul. What is it doing there? That's already a fair question. Right. No, unacceptable. It's not possible. If you shecht it, so you shecht it chulin bazar, which may be an Isser Min HaTorah, may not even be an Isser Min HaTorah. But it's not. That's not possible. Possible means something which is absolutely rejected to be put onto the Mizbeach. No, Rashi gives examples. Rova v'nirva, animal is sodomized, nishcha chutz hazmano chutz hamkomo. Right, so those are the things which are forbidden.
Achaya. In the first category, the second.
I don't know. But chai is neutral.
Right?
Chai, it's a kosher animal. It just, has no place being there, but it's neutral.
It means
kisvi adam. Nisarev bedam psulim yishafech la'ama. Bedam atamtsis yishafech la'ama. What about dam atamtsis? Dam atamtsis, right? When you shech the blood, Shech the animal, so there's a gush of blood that comes out of the neck of the animal, right? That's dam anefesh. That's the blood that you want for the zrika. That's the only blood that you want for the zrika. Afterwards, you squeeze the animal. We talked about squeezing the bird, but that's the mitzvah of the Torah, of mitzui. But by an animal, if you squeeze the animal and you get more blood out, that's just simply dam atamtsis, right? Dam atamtsis. Just the blood that lingers inside the animal there's no pressure of that blood to come out. Okay, that blood is not good for zrika. Okay, so what if there is a mixture of dam hanefesh and dam atamtsis? So you shafech lama. So there you have to pour down the ama as well. Okay, interesting. Again, dam atamtsis. It's not pasul. It's not disqualified. Just it's neutral. It's parv. So it is interesting that mixture of dam hanefesh and dam atamtsis also.
Yeah,
that is interesting. Okay, yishafech b'dam atamtsis, yishafech la'ama. Rabbi Elazar ma'achshir, and Rabbi Elazar says, no, that's fine, right? He says that's nothing wrong with it. The Gemara later on will go over the machlokes between this Tanakam and Rabbi Elazar. Imlo nimlach v'nosan kasher. And then finally the Mishnah says, imlo nimlach v'nosan. Again, the Kohen didn't ask questions. Shoot first, and then ask questions. Here in this case, zrika first, and then ask questions. And this is going back to the Tanakama's viewpoint, meaning the Tanakama says, right, shouldn't do it. Shouldn't do it in the case of...
Which one?
Well, seemingly the Nisarev B'dam Psulim. Or the Dam Tamtzis. I could hear it either one. Imlon, right, the Rashi just simply says, Afilo Tanakama. Okay, either way. Imlon, Nimlach, V'nasan Kasher. So if you didn't ask questions and you just sprinkled onto the Mizbeach, so the evidence is going to be Kasher. And again, as Rashi points out, the Gemara is going to discuss that as well. All right. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Lo shanu elo shanaf l'mayim l'soch dam. Aval nafal dam l'soch mayim rishon batel. Okay, a big concept that comes up in Yeridea, the concept of kama batel. Right? This, we are discussing tarovas, we're talking about a mixture of blood and water. Let's go with our first case of the Mishnah, the mixture of blood and water. Mixture of blood and water, so the Gemara says it depends what goes into what. Right? Dam shen is ariv b'mayim. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where the blood gets mixed up in water. Now, from the Mishnah, it's not totally clear what's going into what. Blood's going into water, or water's going into blood. Not totally clear. So the Gemara...
It's more like blood into water.
It does sound that way. Right? Correct. The Gemara is exceedingly clear. There has to be water going into blood. Water going into blood, meaning the blood is what's on the base of the bowl, and water's coming in. But the blood is there. So in other words, so the blood is an entity in of itself, And as the water keeps coming in on top, so if the blood becomes so diluted that you can't even see the color anymore, you can't even see the appearance, so then the blood is gone. But up until that point in time, it's still called blood. Okay? Blood mixed with water. However, let's go the other direction. Just 1 second. Let's go in the other direction. Let's now say that it's a bowl of water. And then I drop in blood. So there, kama kama batel. Every little drop that comes in is going to be batel. Now again, go back to your titration. Right? As you keep dropping in drops of blood, eventually what's going to happen, we all know, right? Even if you didn't take chemistry, but eventually what's going to happen is you're going to eventually see the blood. But from a halachic standpoint, every drop that comes in is nullified, kama kama batel, and as a result of that, it doesn't matter. Meaning, you're going to, it's very interesting, you're going to end up with the same result. Meaning right. In both bowls,
it's
right?
Gonna be red a little bit.
It's going to be a little bit red. This bowl is going to be a little bit red, and this bowl is going to be a little bit red. But in our first bowl, where the blood was on the bottom, and the water was added on top, right? That's fine, because you had the blood as an entity in of itself, and then the water came in afterwards, and the water diluted it, but as long as you still see the appearance, it's going to still be blood. And the other bowl, the water was there first, and I keep dropping drops of blood in, and it's not going to be okay. It's not going to be acceptable because of the concept of kama kama bato. So it's fascinating. You have two bowls, same result, but one is kosher and one's pasul.
If you put a lot of blood in the water,
if you put a lot at one time, so then we don't have the principle of kama kama bato, right? I agree, but right, the Gemara is just introducing us to this concept of kama kama batel. Okay, Amar of Papa, more. All right, but when it comes to kisui adam, it's not the case because there's no dichui by mitzvahs. Now the Gemara is basically saying like this, right? Even in our two bowl experiment that we've had so far, in the first bowl it started with blood and I added water, and the second bowl it started with water, I added blood. So in the world of Zrika, so we point out that there's a difference because of this concept of kama kama bato. What about in the world of kisui hadam? We know we have a mitzvah. After shechting bird or wild animal, we have to cover the blood. Right? So there's a mitzvah in the Torah to be mechasas hadam. Right? It's not that complicated. Just simply take a clod of earth and throw it on top and say, right, kisui hadam ba'afar. Ba'afar. So, right, and make a bracha and do the mitzvah of kisui hadam. Here, in the world of kisui hadam, both bowls would still be blood.
Right?
This bowl and this bowl would be blood. Right? What's the difference? The Gemara says, the difference basically goes like this. In the world of Kachim, in our first case where it was a question of Zrikas Adam, we have a principle of Dichui. Dichui means it was pushed off. Meaning in our second bowl, so when the day's over, when I finish dropping in all my blood, it has a red appearance. But with each drop that came in, it became nisbatal, it became nullified. Nullified in the world of Karbanos, in the world of Kachim, means permanently, disqualified. It can never come back to life. It can never come back to legal existence as being blood. Once we use the principle of kama kama bato, that's it. It's disqualified. Even though I will get to a point where I'll have a red appearance, but it's been disqualified. So, and by karbanos, we have this principle of dichui. In the world of mitzvos, ain't dichui etzel mitzvos. There's no dichui. So in other words, correct. When the first drop of blood comes in and it gets totally negated by that large pool of water, you're right, 100%. At that point in time, you don't have blood. But as the further drops come in and eventually you're going to have a red appearance, so now you have blood. By karbanos, we said that's no good. Correct. By karbanos, we have a concept of dichui. It gets pushed off. By mitzvos, there is no concept of dichui. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara makes the difference between kachim and mitzvos.
So you cover his blood.
So that, and then you would have in both bowls, you would have a mitzvah of kisui adam. The first bowl for sure, but even in our second bowl, where you started with the water and you dropped the blood in, you're still going to have a mitzvah to cover the blood.
And you said bracha.
Everything. It's blood.
All right. How does it happen?
It's not going to happen. The Gemara is talking more in an abstract.
Yeah, because
correct. Just it's more of an abstract concept.
Is the Gemara going to guess this?
Yeah, we'll talk about the Rav. Tomorrow's daf, Rav is going to organize all this information.
Well, Hans Netzer was bothered with Chia because it would seem that the
Correct. Amri Shlakish, Hapigol v'hanosar v'hatamish shabal mzebezeh. Okay, this one's tricky. This one's very tricky. Reish Lakish says, let's say you take a mouthful of meat. Well, I'm going to assume, right now, let's assume it's meat, right? We'll play around with what the items actually are. But they are pigle, no, so tell me three different isurim in the Torah. Pigle, right? We've talked about that at length in Zvachim. Oh boy. Gemara Zvachim loves pigle. Loves to discuss it. So yeah, when you shech the animal, the Kohen says either chutzazmano, chutzim koma. Let's go with chutzazmano. That's a classic definition of pigle. So I shech the chutzazmano with a machshav of chutzazmano. So the assuming all the other avodas are done correctly. So then what your result is meat, which is pigle. Eating pigle meat is a chiv kares. No sar, meat was left over beyond its expiration date. Every carbon has an expiration date. For shlamim, it's 2 days. For achatus, it's 1 day. Toda, it's 1 day, 1 night. So pigle, no sar. So the meat is left over after its expiration date. There's a mitzvah in the Torah of burning the no sar. Here we're discussing a person who's eating the no sar and tame. Person's not allowed to eat a carbon that became tame. All three of these are isuri kares. Eating pigle, eating nosar, eating tame. A person puts into his mouth all three. It doesn't have to be all three. If you want to keep it simple, we could talk just about two of these three. And he ate a kezias of each. He ate one kezias of each of these. To fit three kezias in your mouth, somewhat of a trick. That's why I say let's talk about two, because it's the same basic concept, whatever the case is. So now, he throws in a kezias of meat into his mouth and a kezias of meat into his mouth. One of those meats is pigle and the other one's nosar. Okay? Shebalalan zebe zeva achlan. So now, he's chewing it all together in his mouth. There's obviously, as he's chewing in his mouth, he's mixing it together in his mouth. So he's creating a tarovis in his mouth and he eats it putter. So he's going to be putter. Now obviously it's a tremendous chiddush over here. We'll get to the why in just a moment, but just understand what we're saying. If you ate one of them at a time, each one of them at its own separate time, so of course you're going to get kares. So the tremendous chiddush of the Gemara over here is that if I eat two or three of them at the same time, there's a belila, there's going to be a mixture right in his mouth, and he's going to be pater. Why? So we'll read the Gemara and then we'll read Rashi. For the Gemara, you really don't get clarity of what's going on and what the issue is. Rashi, you do get clarity, but it's going to be difficult. So, because what's going to happen is that in your mouth, one min is going to, they're going to get mixed up together, one is going to be marba over the other, and it's going to be mevato. Okay. Now, what does that mean? Right?
It's going to be less than half,
because
there's three of them.
Well, let's even if it's two. In other words, this concept, this applies even... I understand the Gemara gave three examples. So look at Rashi. Because you'll see from Rashi, this is really... Okay.
But it's only Mavato Benatora, isn't it? Two against one.
No, again, it's the three is not the critical issue over here, as you'll see from Rashi. Iyashah shalo yar b'mina chaver v'chule. Kishuhu lo esosa b'fiv, nivla min leso chaveru. Okay. Now, what's going to end up happening is like this. Again, let's talk about two different types of meats in your mouth. One's pigle, one's nosar. Now, you're chewing together the two at the same time. So what's going to happen is that, as you're chewing, obviously, they're mixing up in your mouth. Pigle and nosar are getting chewed up and mixed up in your mouth. A little bit of the nosar is going to jump over to the pigle. It's got to be. Or vice versa. A little bit of the pigle is going to jump into the nosar. Right? And what's going to happen? Rashi, again, Nivla min lasto chaver, miyutu shoze, berubo shoze, uvatel hamiyut berov. And what's going to happen with that little bit of nosar that gets mixed up with pigle is that little bit gets batel. Oh, right. Vahabato b'chom min nosaf al hamevato v'nikra b'shmo v'nigra mimino.
And he doesn't have a kezias left.
Now, the e esh lechavin shelo yehi mimin ha'echad bato bechaver yosem imasha bato mimin chaver bo. The nimsa she'ein ba'oso min kishir. So now you don't have a shear. De batzer le shiure. You've diminished the amount of the shear. Now, of one of them.
Right, but the other one.
Okay, now what about the other one?
Right.
So in other words, now at this point in time, I would have said, right, which I would have said that a little bit from this went off into here, and a little bit from this went off into here. Now, Rashi does not say that. Rashi only is going to entertain the possibility that a little bit of this one went into the other one. Now, why does Rashi do that? Because Rashi sets himself up for the next part of Rashi, which is the following. V'lo yadin en haimina batzerlei. Now, we don't know which one got diminished, meaning he's holding two pieces of meat in his mouth, one's pig and one's nose star. He's chewing on both of them. One of them broke off and joined the other. Now, when that one little bit joined the other, so that little bit becomes batel. So in other words, of those two pieces, A and B, you don't have a shear of one of the two, but it's in your mouth, and of course, with manners, you're chewing with your mouth closed, so nobody sees, and even if they did sing, I don't know what they're going to get from sing. V'lo yadin haiminai batzerlei, v'chi masrinan bei, and then Rashi introduces something which, to me, came out of left field, but I know why Rashi did that, because Rashi read ahead in the Gemara, which we're going to do hopefully in just a couple of minutes from now. So v'chi masrinan lei, and then you're sitting there and you're watching him chew and you say to him, you know, I'm warning you. First of all, you put too much in your mouth. That's number one. Number two is that if you swallow that, you're going to be in violation of, but then you don't know how to finish your sentence because he's holding two pieces in his mouth. One of them is pickle and the other one is nosar. And he doesn't know right now what's happening in his mouth. Is he eating a kezias of pickle? Is he eating a kezias of nosar? One of the two has broken off and joined the other. We don't know which one is getting hasra. And we know the rules of hasra. You got to know what you're warning the person about. And here you don't know. You don't know what you're warning him about. So then you say to him, well, don't eat that because you may be eating pigle. Right? Keywords, may be eating pigle. You don't know for sure. So that's Hasra Safik. And then let's say, okay, fine. And if you're not eating pigle, so then you may be eating nosar. So each one of those statements independently, you don't know for certain whether or not what the person is violating. The Alpha Gav de Mamaskana Vandai Echad Minaihu of Rabbi Shas Asra. Now, if you put the two Asra's together, he definitely violated it. Doesn't matter. In the world of Hasra, when you warn, you have to know for sure what he is violating. You don't know for sure. Your warning is not standing alone by its in of itself. So Miya Safiku Bechol Echad Nim Yavor Alavim Lo. But Asra Sofik Lav Asra. We know the rules of Asra Sofik, because Asra Sofik is not considered Asra, although this is subject to a machlok, it's elsewhere in the Gemara. The Gemara debates it, but the Gemara assumes right now Asra Sofik is not going to be Asra. Okay.
That's assuming that you measured the Kazayas amount, you know it was only a Kazayas if you're worried.
Correct. Okay, so what really Reish Lakish comes down to, it's interesting, it really... In other words, if you just separate a lot of the issa v'heter, a lot of the tarovis issues, it really comes down to a asra issue. What it comes down to is that because you don't know what exactly he's eating, a shear of a kezias of pig or a kezias of nosar, you know he's eating one of the two. You're just not sure which one, and you're sitting there and you're warning him. But because you're warning you and you don't know for sure what he's doing, so therefore. It's a technicality. It's a super technicality in the legal world of halacha, where we don't know, and therefore the hasra doesn't stand, and that's why it's pater.
So now you just had
let me just read a little bit further in the Gemara, right? Let me just.
Can you explain this more?
Not really. But I understand. Look. We'll see the Gemara, and I get it. I understand why Rashi introduces the whole concept of hasra. So Shema Min HaTorah, so the Gemara goes into its usual three things to learn from here, right? Whenever the Gemara introduces an oddity in halacha, the Gemara always, for some reason, walks away with three, right? Shema Min HaTorah, there are three things to learn from here. Shema Min HaYisroel Mevat Nezadze. First of all, right, one supposition that's made, that makes all this work, is the idea that Isser could be Mevatel Isser. Right? You could have argued that bittul is only when you have heter v'isser, isser v'heter, right? Whenever we talk about tarovis, we always say isser v'heter, right? We don't normally talk about isser v'isser, but in concept it works. One isser could be mevatel another isser. That's number one. Number two, shema mina no sein tam berov lav da'araisa. Also, no sein tam berov lav da'araisa. It's what we call the concept of tam ke'ikar. Right? Tam ke'ikar, right? When I have taste infused into something else, so we normally say that that's an, that, well, you're not allowed to eat that mina Torah. Right? The simple example, right? You cook in a non-kosher pot, right? You cook noodles in a non-kosher pot, the noodles are fine. The noodles are infused with taste, so what do we, the taste of the treif that's in the pot, so we say tam ke'ikar. That the taste that now goes into the noodles is a real isser. It's not just that, in order to violate the isser in the Torah, it's not that you have to actually eat the treif. If you could taste the treif, so that would be sufficient. So tam ke'ikar. So shma mina, so the Gemara says, another thing we learn over here is no saying tam berov lav d'araisa. That if you have nesinas tam, it's not going to be a din d'araisa. Now Rashi over here explains, look, because the way I've been explaining the cases so far, it's one piece of meat and another piece of meat. So, right, this second takeaway, you know, take home point that we don't have tam ke'ikar, you don't really hear in the case that I brought out. It's one piece of meat and another piece of meat. Right? It's meat.
Yeah, how do you get
there? So, right, how did you get there? So Rashi says, because we don't have to be talking about meat and meat. That was my I'm trying to, you know, no pun intended. I'm trying to shove that down your throat. But the could be menachos, right? Could be flour, right? Pigle doesn't have to be just in the world of meat. Pigle can exist in the world of mincha. So you can have over here one kezayis of mincha, of flour, and one kezayis of meat. Oh, right. And now, as you're chewing it in your mouth, the taste of the meat now gets infused into the flour. So if I held tam ke'ikar d'oraisa, right, even though it's, right, it's, I'm not eating, it's a small amount, but still the flour that I'm eating is a meat-infused flour. So you could have said that that in of itself already done, meaning that's already an isra d'oraisa. The fact that the Brisa doesn't, that's not a Brisa, I'm sorry, it's a statement of Reish Lakish. The fact, the statement of Reish Lakish doesn't say that. And the fact that Reish Lakish says, well, you know, one of those pieces is going to be a kezias, and the other piece is going to be less than a kezias. What about the taste that was infused from the larger piece to the smaller piece? That's not going to do it for us. So you see that tam ke'ikar lav d'araisa. That's the second takeaway point. And shma mina hasra safek lo shmei hasra. And the third thing that you see from Reish Lakish is that hasra safek is not considered hasra. Right. So in that, right, you see that the Gemara now introduces the idea of Hasra Safek. So once Rashi read that, then Rashi went back and said, wait a second, we never talked about Hasra. How did Hasra become part of the whole discussion over here? Where did that come from? So that's why Rashi then went ahead and worked backwards, so to say, went back to the case of Reish Lakish to try to figure out, how, where's the Hasra? And that's why he came up with a scenario. Well, one of the pieces went from over here to over here. I still have a kezayis of one. I'm missing the kezayis of the other. And, right? And that's how Rashi constructed the example. This large Tosis on the page over here, which we're not going to go through, so doesn't like the whole fundamental principle of Rashi over here. He doesn't like the way that Rashi set up the case. Goes through a different, a couple of other scenarios in terms of how to set up the case. But I'm just explaining to you, just on the simple, superficial level of the Gemara, how it comes out that Rashi introduces the whole concept of Asra over here, because the Gemara tells us it's one of our takeaway points, one of our three takeaway points. So obviously, Hasra is part of the discussion.
Are we talking about a case where an exact kezayis? How about if he had, a big mouth, things like three kezayis of this and three of this?
Right.
We would say the same thing.
So then, no. I don't know. In other words, you're right. There's aside from the Gemara's assumptions, meaning there's a certain amount of reality assumptions, like how much of one transfers into the other. I'm not really sure.
It's still, then there's a suffix on three. Is it big or
right? That's why. That's why I said the issue two versus three is not really the issue. I've said that a couple of times. It's clearly not the issue. The issue over here is you don't know what's happening in his mouth in terms of this isser and that isser. And I mean, that's what basically Rashi says. We're assuming that there's a little bit of transfer from one to the other.
Yeah. What's a normal case of
Asra Safek? Normal case of Asra Safek is he eats, there are two pieces of fat in front of him. One's Chalev, one's Shuman. He eats one of the two. You don't know which one he's eating. So you say to him, you know, that you're not allowed to eat that. Meanwhile, you don't know what he's eating. You're not 100% sure. It could be that he's eating Shuman. So
I understand
He did eat both of them. He just didn't violate. He didn't eat enough. I mean, he left Chatzi Sheiras for Torah. He definitely.
Correct, but. Right, but we're talking about, in other words, you're correct, but Chatzi Sheiras for Torah only means a sinisim and a Torah to eat it. Here we're talking about.
Not, I understand that he might only get one curries, but it's not Asra something, because I'm saying don't eat that. That is, don't eat those two things. He did eat those two things,
correct.
He might just not eat enough of one of them.
Correct.
Every Hasra is a suffix. Definition. I'm on a certain level. When I say don't do that, the purpose is maybe he'll listen to me. Don't do it.
Right.
See, in this case, it's not only I tell the guy don't shoot him. If you shoot him, you'll be put to death. I'm saying don't eat those two things. And the guy does eat the two things. He just
correct.
Doesn't.
But in the world of Tarovis, just go over. In the world of Tarovis, because one breaks off one and joins the other, so that little bit becomes batal. So even when you say don't eat the nosar, it could be he didn't eat nosar.
That's possible. Only should get one curry.
But as you're standing there and warning him and saying don't eat,
he put both in his mouth.
Right.
Not yet.
Yeah, putting in your mouth is not right.
I'm saying the hasra wasn't a suffix. It's different than that.
All right. Well, look, we'll talk after. But I'm just saying it's right. You don't. It doesn't have to be that he violated the isser. Okay, it's a legal right. Correct. It's absolutely correct. It's a legal loophole in the world in the world of punishment. It's not correct. He ate two Easterim in the Torah, but correct.
What about the fact that he changed the taste in his mouth? Like if you have mincha and basar.
Right. So if you have mincha and basar, so no. So he's combining the tastes in his mouth. So the Gemara says, from a taste standpoint, right? One of the Gemara's takeaway points is that from a taste standpoint, we don't care. The fact that the meat went into the flour and infused the flour with the taste of meat, that's not an issue. What is an issue is, did he eat a kazayas of meat or did he eat a kazayas of flour? And that's the Gemara saying. We don't know. We're not 100% sure.
And if he ate without chewing?
And if he ate?
If he ate two without chewing them.
With just swallowing them, so then, according to the way Rashi set it up, so then he's oh no, you want to say that's not derech achila, right? Okay. It's complex. Mesav Rava Rava. Also, Isam in Chitum in Orez. Let's say you make flour. You made it a combination. You blend it together, and here your blend was wheat and rice. Okay. Im Yeshba Tam Degan Chayev Es Bechalav Afagav Deruba Orez. So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. It's Mishnah Chala. Look, we know we have a mitzvah of Chala. Hafreshes Chala. Every time that you make bread. So you have a mitzvah to take off a piece and give it to the Kohen. We are today not sure who Kohanim are, and Kohanim nowadays are not in a state of Tahara, so we don't give it to Kohanim. We stick it in the oven and burn it. Okay, but still, there's a mitzvah of Hafreshes Chala. And Hafreshes Chala is all off the Chameshes Aminim, off the five grains. So wheat, barley, spelt, rye, and oats. And so when you make bread, so as long as the majority of it is made up of the five grains, so then fine. So then you have to take off there's a mitzvah to take off a fresh chala. The Mishnah in Chala tells us, what if it's a blend and it's a blend of wheat and rice? So the Mishnah says, right now let's go over the Mishnah again. Im yesh ba tam dagan chayev es bechala. As long as there's a taste of dagan, so you're going to be chayev in chala. The afa gav deruba orez. Now the fact that we're saying that there's a taste of wheat, that means that the majority of it is not wheat. The majority of it is rice. Now, if you make bread rice bread, right? If you make rice bread, it's not chayv in the mitzvah of challah. It's not. It's not one of the five minim. So, but as long as you included in this blend enough wheat that infuses taste, so then there's a mitzvah of hafrashas challah. You see over here in this Mishnah, tam is everything. Taste is everything. Here, as long as there's an infusion of taste into the dough, there's a mitzvah of hafreshes challah. So one of our takeaway points from the previous sugya was that tam keker is not min haTorah, and meanwhile, you're separating challah, giving it to a kohen, he's eating in a state of kedusha, all because of the concept of tam.
But as long as you're appreciating the taste, then you cannot say there's batel b'shishim there.
I understand that. In other words, there's enough. Shishim is not in our lexicon right now. Which, as long as it's infusing taste, it's going to give. There's going to be a mitzvah of hafrashas challah. So on that, the Gemara says midrabbanan. Well, maybe you can argue that there's a din of hafrashas challah over here. It's only a din derabbanan. Maybe Tom Kicker is not the araisa, and maybe it's only derabbanan. He hachi ema seifa. So the Gemara says, I don't think so. It's right. It's a nice defense, but I don't think so. So because if you go on in the Mishnah says, Adam Yosef bo yidei chavasa bePesach, you can eat it on Pesach and fulfill your mitzvah of achilas matzah. Now your mitzvah of achilas matzah there, you min haTorah, you need to eat one of the five grains,
right?
You cannot use anything else to make matzah. And over here, you have a blend of rice and wheat. In fact, not only is it a blend of rice
mostly
and wheat,
rice.
Mostly rice, a little bit of wheat, but enough wheat to enough wheat to infuse taste into the rice. And meanwhile, the Mishnah Challah tells us, good. Adam yotzei yedei chavaso bePesach. You eat it on Pesach, and you fulfilled your mitzvah min haTorah of achilas matzah. So you can't say that this Mishnah is operating only on a derabbanan level. Clearly, this Mishnah is operating on a d'oraisa level. Ella. So here the Gemara now is going to give us some very hard rules in terms of Tarovis. By the way, for us Ashkenazim in this room, gives us more reason to, on Pesach, to have Emunas Chachamim. Meaning, right, we all know, I mean, the Gemara is in Pesachim, and the Mishnah is in Pesachim already tells us that rice is totally fine. But here, I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah, the Mishnah Challah talks about eating rice matzah as long as there's enough wheat in it to give it taste. So the Mishnah Challah says, go ahead and fulfill your mitzvah of achilas matzah.
So, but don't we have a problem identifying what oris is if it's really the same
oris? That may be an issue. But that's not the larger issue. The larger issue is. In the European countries,
no,
right? They mixed up the flours and sometimes they would substitute. Right? It's exera derabbanan, right? Makes our lives a little more difficult, a little more challenging, but that's, you know, one of the privileges of being Ashkenazim.
No,
there are not that many privileges of being an Ashkenazim.
Right.
Adam Yosef Dechavas of Pesach. So fine. Amen. So Ella. So the Gemara says like this. Ella. Min b'she'eino mino b'taima. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. Look. If they are dissimilar in taste, right? When we call in the worlds of Tarovitz min b'she'eino mino. If it's dissimilar in taste, so then b'taima. So then Tom is the main thing. Tom is going to be your driving force. This is where we're going to say Tom Ke'ikar. Tom Ke'ikar when you actually taste that which you taste. Now, in the context of a Gemara, remember, it works for us, it works against us. Right? It goes in both directions. The concept of Tom Ke'ikar is a global concept that if you're talking about a mitzvah, helps you, and if you're talking about an issur, hurts you. Right, and I don't have to go far to give examples. I just stay with what we have in today's daf. In the world of matzah, I'm eating rice. It just happens to be that rice is infused with wheat flavoring, right? Because there is actually wheat as part of the mixture. Good, it's matzah, and you're going to fulfill your mitzvah of matzah. Tom kicker is the raisa. Funny, in my very simplistic world, rice and wheat don't taste that dissimilar from one another, but clearly the Gemara assumes differently. The Gemara assumes that they're dissimilar. In the world of Isser, it's going to hurt you. Meaning that if you have meat and flour, right, the meat is pigle and the flour is regular flour, and I eat the two together, and the meat is infused into the flour, so then you're going to be chayav for having eaten. So if it's min b'she'eino mino, it's going to be b'taima. Min b'mino, what if it's similar? Like meat and meat.
Right.
One meat is pigle, the other meat is nosar. So then beruba. So then rov. And that goes back to the comment of Reish Lakish. Right, Reish Lakish was talking about eating pigle and nosar at the same time. Let's not assume that it's flour and meat. Let's assume that's meat and meat. So the Gemara says, if you're eating pigle and nosar at the same time, so then rov. Rov is going to determine whether or not there's going to be bittul, whether there's going to be nullification. Fine. Min b'mina b'ruba. All right. So this is at this point in time now. The rules of Tarovis. Min b'she'eino mino is tam. Min b'mino is min b'mino is rov.
That's not according to Rabbi Huda.
Right, correct. Rabbi Yehuda min bemino is never going to be betel. Correct. V'nishar min bemino kemin b'she'eino mino. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Min bemino, why don't we give it the same ratio as min b'she'eino mino? In fact, how do I know that I should do that? That I should give it really the same ratio? None. Because let's go back to our Mishnah. Nasan nisar b'yayin ro'no so ki'ilu humayim. So what do we do in our Mishnah? In our Mishnah, we had blood and wine, right? Red wine. So we had a mixture of min bimino. And yet the Mishnah says, rono soki lumayan. I treat it like min b'she'eino mino. Right? That's what we learned in our Mishnah. We forecast. What if it wasn't wine? What if it was water? Would it still give appearance, yes or no? If it would give appearance, so then it's not going to be batel. Same thing would be true if it's wine. I look at it as if, it's water. So now, my love, Rono, so layayin ki ilu humayin. So the Gemara says, isn't that pshat in the Mishnah? Where we substitute the wine for water? Isn't that the pshat in the Mishnah? The Gemara says, lo, Rono, so ladam ki ilu humayin. So the Gemara makes a suggestion, which really does not going to last that long. But the Gemara makes a suggestion, no, we look at the blood as if it's water. That's the pshat in the Mishnah. This is what the Gemara is suggesting. The pshat is, we look at the blood as if it's water. Ihachi, the Gemara says, that's a difficult pshat. Very difficult pshat in the Mishnah. Number one, batal mibayile. So if we're looking at the blood as if it's water, and what we're saying in the Mishnah is, well, if the blood were water and you couldn't see the water because there's a majority of wine, so then just say the word batal. We don't need the whole concept of rowan. Rowan is no longer applicable over here. So that's number one. It's a difficult pshat mibayile. The O Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rono Soki Iluhu Yain Adon. And not only that, I know that the substitution is not for the blood, but for the wine. I know that because Rav Yehuda says it explicitly in a brisa that we're going to learn about in just a moment. So it's clear that what we're substituting is not the wine, but not the blood, but rather the wine. So the Gemara, it throws it up there as a possible pshat in the Mishnah. The Gemara rejects it. It's not. We're not talking about substituting the blood. We're talking about substituting the wine.
But the thing is, from a technical standpoint, blood itself is a mixture of water and blood cells. If you think it's 60%,
I hear you. Water, I hear you. The Gemara is going to always treat blood as its own separate entity, even though
I understand. But from a technical standpoint,
right,
speaking, you're milk could be including the blood by
I understand
water
that. Milk could also be separated.
Thank you.
Right, milk could be separated, and meanwhile, we're going to treat milk as its own separate entity. So there's certain things that once they are entities, we treat them as just simple entities. Okay, fine. So the also I'm sorry. Ihachi batami baile v'otani Rav Yehuda Amar Rono sakilu umayim adon imdi amaria kashavim la pasal. I'm not going to explain the line of the Mishnah because we're about to read it as right now. Tanai. Gemara says fine machlokis tanai, meaning you're right. This issue right now of how to treat min bamino. Right, when I have like objects. So do I say it's bitul barov, which is what the Gemara has set up above? That's going to be our way that we're going to treat min bimino. Or do I say, no, I look at it as if it's min b'she'eino mino, which would be a much smaller ratio. Right, min b'she'eino mino means it's going to be the infusion of taste. Right, so that is subject to a machlokis tanayim. Tanayi detanya. We learned the following brisa. Delish yeshbo yayin lavan ochala vihit bilo. I have a bucket. Bucket's tummy. Bucket needs to be toveled in the mikvah. And it has in it right now yain lavan, white wine, ochalav, or has milk. Okay? I know milk is white, but let's, for the time being, just understand it's a more, it's a clear complexion. Right? Skim milk. Fine. The hit below, and you tovel it in a mikvah. Okay, now we know when you tovel keli in a mikvah, so water has to come into contact with all parts of the keli, right? Outside, inside, every part of the keli needs to come into contact with the water.
The assumption is they didn't wash.
And what he didn't do, which he could have done very simply, is he could have just filled out the contents of the bucket and then toveled it in the mikvah. Okay? But again, though, the reason why the Mishnah doesn't want to tell us that is because the Mishnah wants to deal with abstract concepts of tarovis and bittul. And so, yes, right, from a pragmatic standpoint, just empty out the contents and then tovel in the mikvah. And also, we all well aware of the fact that we're not talking about toveling the milk inside or toveling the white wine inside. Once liquids become tameh, they always will remain tameh. Once foods become tameh, they always will remain tameh. There's no such thing as toveling food or liquids in the mikvah. There is an exception to that, and that's water, but that's water. Okay, and that's the only exception. And that's a concept of Zriya, and not for now. Fine. So the only thing we're really talking about is toveling the keli, the utensil. So now, I have the contents of the utensil, which I didn't empty out, and it's white wine, or it's milk, and holken acha harov, according to the Tanakama, rov. Meaning, so when I take my, here we go, couldn't come up with a better, right, better object example. So here I have my clean, I'm going to tovel in the mikvah, so I'm going to lay it down into the mikvah. Now water is going to rush into the top, and water is going to fill in whatever's over here. Now it happens to be coffee with milk. Okay, so as long, according to the Tanakama, as long as the majority of what is filled is mei mikvah, you're good. You've successfully toveled it in the mikvah. If the majority of it is coffee with milk, or in the case of the Mishnah, milk or white wine, so then no. The outside came into contact with mikvah. The inside did not come into contact with mikvah because the majority of the inside was milk and wine.
Well, now it won't go out.
The liquid that was inside
would go out.
Eventually, correct. Eventually, what's going to happen if you keep it in there is that there will be a dilution, right? I totally agree. And that the milk is going to rush out into the mikvah and the water is going to come in. But I guess from a instantaneous standpoint, meaning if I just dropped it in and took it out, no. we don't say that.
Don't we have a principle that as long as you have 40 sif of water in your mikvah, no matter what you add to it, it all comes out of the mikvah, right?
Chatzitza. This is an issue of chatzitza.
Are you arguing that the liquid inside the cup becomes part of the mikvah, so it's not a chatzitza anymore, it's part of the mikvah, and nullified by the 40 sif of the water in the mikvah.
Okay. All right, I hear what you're saying, but the Gemara is obviously not, the Mishnah over here is not dealing with it. The Mishnah is assuming that it's going to be a chatzitza and that mikvah water did not come into contact with the middle. Okay, so holchenacha arav. Rav Yehuda omer rono so ki ilu hu yayin adom im dia mareo kasher v'im lav pasol. Okay, and here Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah says, you know what you do, Rowan? We do a conversion. We look at it as if it's red wine. So right now it's white. And I really can't tell the difference between it and the water. Okay, good. So Rono, so we look at it as if it is red wine, and if it's diha, and if it gets diluted, if the appearance is, it gets now a lighter red, so then it's going to be fine. So keilu hu yain adam hadia mareo kasher v'im lav pasul. Good. So you see over here that this idea of Rowan, how to treat min bimino? Do we go with rov? Do we go with no? We look at it as if it's minish b'she'eno mino is subject to a machlokas tanayim. So the Gemara says fine. So we are in the world of min bimino machlokas. Okay. So started with the Mishnah this morning. The Mishnah talks about different types of tarovis in terms of the mitzvah zrikas adam, sprinkling of blood. Right, in the world of dam and mayim, blood and water, so appearance becomes the main issue. As long as you still have an appearance of blood, it's going to be fine. It's going to be kosher. The Gemara takes us through the concept of kama batil, right? And that it matters in the world of kachim. What was there first? Was the water there first, or was the blood there first? The Gemara says, in the world of mitzvah, since there's no dichui by mitzvahs, so it doesn't matter. Water, blood, which one comes first? As long as you end up with the appearance of blood, you have the mitzvah, you still have the mitzvah of Kisu Adam. Then we go through the complex scenario of Reish Lakish, where you ate pigle and nosar together, and Reish Lakish says you ate a kezayis of each one and you put it in your mouth and you chewed it together, you're not going to be chayev. Essentially what it comes down to, according to Rashi, is a technicality, because one of the pieces joined the other piece, and we don't know which piece you're eating a kezayis of. And then we talked about concepts of bitul berov by min bimino versus min b'she'eno mino. On min b'she'eno mino, tam ke'ikar. Okay, that's what we walk away with today. In terms of min bimino, subject to a machlokas, whether it's tam ke'ikar, because we're going to treat it like min b'she'eno mino, or it's rov. Okay, tomorrow we'll talk more about these last two categories.